Yeah, that 40% is total food produced that goes to waste. There's about 20 billion pounds of produce that go to waste every single year. And we use lands the size of New Mexico to grow food that nobody eats, nobody winds up eating. So it's a really big problem. Food waste is a huge environmental issue. If it was a country, it'd be the third largest producer of greenhouse gases behind the United States and China. And so I've decided to dedicate my life to try to change that, try to tackle food waste and really take it into my own hands. And a lot of people on the team that are trying to help me out with that with Hungry Harvest.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Evan Lutz, CEO of Hungry Harvest, eliminating food waste and hunger. He joins us from Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome, Evan.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we live in a world of sharp contrasts, excesses with so many varieties of fruits and vegetables available all year round. And on the other hand, we have so much hunger, so much food insecurity. What is the percent of Americans who go hungry every night?
I believe the 40% of food goes to waste in the United States. There's about 35 million Americans that are food insecure as of last year. That is not impacted by COVID, though, so those numbers are likely much higher.
And you said about 40% of the food goes waste, and this is in particular the perishables and in the fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that 40% is total food produced that goes to waste. There's about 20 billion pounds of produce that go to waste every single year. And we use lands the size of New Mexico to grow food that nobody eats, nobody winds up eating. So it's a really big problem. Food waste is a huge environmental issue. If it was a country, it'd be the third largest producer of greenhouse gases behind the United States and China. And so I've decided to dedicate my life to try to change that, try to tackle food waste and really take it into my own hands. And a lot of people on the team that are trying to help me out with that with Hungry Harvest.
So what contributes to this waste?
Food waste is a symptom of a few root problems. So we have a very centralized food system today, as opposed to a decentralized system. So 100 years ago, the food system was very decentralized. So people were buying from local producers, you would buy from local farmers. The only produce you would get would be what's produced that year and, you know, anything within a 50-mile radius. And today we've got things shipping across the country, across continents, across oceans, and it's led to vast yields, but actually very low nutritional value of food and a lot of waste, unfortunately. You know, we have grocery stores that are very large, that have 30,000, 50,000 SKUs in them that are basically warehouses with food. And we've come to expect a certain standard of what the food looks like. And unfortunately, not all food grows up to that standard, it never has. And so all the food that grows ugly or imperfect or, you know, there's a blemish on the side or it's the wrong size or shape or color or is just simply surplus out there in the market, unfortunately, goes to waste. That has never been a problem as big as it is today.
So when did this obsession of a perfect fruit, this tomato, which is perfectly shaped, symmetrical, when did this all begin?
Really, it began with the mass use of refrigerated trucking and refrigerated storage, which was in the 50s and the 60s, when that really started to be used by grocery stores and chains across the world. That allowed the food system to do was produce things that are very far away from the source. And because there was all of a sudden a larger global market for all the food that was produced, the standards of what food was supposed to look like increased. And so suddenly you had, you know, perfect looking strawberries on the shelf in times when strawberries were not growing in a certain region. And people became accustomed to that. And so anything that looked different than that, which, you know, things grow, if you've ever been to a farm, things grow all different shapes and sizes and colors, that became non-standard and therefore started to go to waste. So the centralization of the food system in the middle of the 20th century was really a big changer for how much food is going to waste. I will say it hasn't been all bad. I mean, the cost of food today is the lowest it's ever been as a ratio of per capita GDP. That is definitely good, and more people have access to food than ever. But there are certain problems, environmental problems and food waste problems with, you know, the centralization of the food system.
So what you're trying to say is that since the food was all centralized and they brought together in one place, it was optimal for them to be of a certain size, certain shape, to be packed in the most efficient manner, to be transported and to be delivered to the customers. But I'm from India, where the percent of food that is wasted is really, really high because of the lack of refrigerated trucking. So in India, I want to say almost 30 to 40% of the fruits and vegetables post-harvest are wasted. So in some ways, they were trying to solve a problem with refrigerated trucking. And then most of us want an avocado in December to make our guacamole for maybe a Christmas dinner. So we are used to these choices being available to us all year round. I want a pomegranate. You know, a few years ago, you couldn't get a pomegranate off season, but now you get it year round. So there are twofold. One, there is pressure from the consumers who demand that these things be available all the time. And then they are trying to reduce waste in some ways by sending it out too, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm mainly referring to the food waste that happens in the United States. I know in a lot of developing countries, there's a ton of food waste because of the lack of modern food systems and transport vehicles and refrigerated trucking. And that causes a ton of post-harvest loss in the United States. Unfortunately, it's kind of the opposite, where we have so much infrastructure that it causes a ton of post-harvest loss, but for the opposite reasons. So it's simply because consumers are sort of been brainwashed by grocery stores to think that things are supposed to look a certain way when they grow all different shapes and sizes.
If you had to pick a stage in the supply chain, where do you think the maximum amount of waste happens? During harvest, during sorting, picking, during shipping, or at the grocery stores when it reaches them and they're like, cilantro has some browning or this pear has some nicks on it?
Yeah, it depends on the item and the season and the quantity as well. I mean, there's a lot of waste that happens with right on farms during harvest, where actually pickers are not picking out certain items because they know they're not going to make grade. And so they just leave them in the fields. Sometimes farms plow under their entire yield because it's more cost effective for them if they're like a very large, you know, 1,000-plus acre farm. Sometimes it's more effective to plow under crops to control the amount of supply to raise the prices than it is to actually introduce more supply to the market and lower the prices for a particular commodity. And that obviously causes a lot of waste as well. In addition to on the farm, there's a lot of waste in the packing house and the sorting center, where straight carrots get sorted from the crooked carrots, and apples that are, you know, off color get sorted from the perfect apples. And then there's a lot of waste in addition at the wholesale level, where a lot of times items are bought, but not, they don't have a buyer for them. So, you know, items will just basically sit in inventory. And if they don't get sold, they ultimately go to waste. We see a lot of situations like that with very perishable items such as avocados. When they start to become a little bit ripe, the price in them immediately drops. And sometimes they go to waste, even though, you know, they're perfectly good when they're a little bit soft. But grocery stores and typical retail buyers don't want soft avocados. They want rock hard avocados that can, you know, sit on the shelf for a couple of weeks. So there's really, I don't have the statistics in front of me on top of my head of where the most amount of waste occurs in the supply chain, but I do know that it's pretty ubiquitous across the entire food ecosystem, that waste happens at basically every level.
So when did you start Hungry Harvest?
So I started Hungry Harvest as a passion project for a school project back in 2014. I've always been interested in social entrepreneurship, and I've always been interested in the food system and the environment and helping really create the planet I want to live on, and a better planet than when I found it. And so Hungry Harvest was kind of the answer to that. I learned about food waste and the problems this one local farmer had of selling their off-grade product when I went to the University of Maryland. And we actually had to start a project where we were basically starting a business, a social enterprise, in one of my classes. And so I took up this project and started selling one farmer's off-grade product for $5 bags for £5 outside of my Stamp Student Union. And it grew and grew and grew. And right after I graduated, I started a home delivery service of the same concept, just different model. And about almost 7 years later, we've grown to about 80 or so employees and delivering in eight cities and reduced about 27 million pounds of produce from going to waste.
So you started with taking the surplus or the blemished produce from the farmer. Do you still do that, or do you go and attack the problem at the different stages in the supply chain?
So we work with the farmers, wholesalers, and packing houses to reduce waste from all three sources. And it's pretty evenly split between those sources, mostly farmers. So I'd say about 50% of our produce comes from directly from farms. The rest is split between packing houses and wholesalers. Our opinion is, you know, if product is going to waste, what it looks like, how it's grown, where it's grown, we're going to rescue it. And if, as long as it's, you know, super fresh and very high quality, that's what we'll sell to our customers.
I heard about your business when my daughter went to school in the Philadelphia area, and she started her subscription to Hungry Harvest. So is that your business model, the subscription, or is it a weekly based thing? How does it work?
Yeah, it's a subscription model. So you can sign up on hungryharvest.net and get a weekly or bi-weekly deliveries. You can cancel at any time. And you can customize what you want. So if you like mushrooms, you can add mushrooms to your harvest anytime we have them available in the marketplace. If you really don't like zucchini, anytime they're automatically in your box, we'll take them out for you with something called a technology called a Neverlist that we use. So we also sell other add-on items that otherwise would go to waste or have some kind of food waste or impact story or food insecurity fighting or impact story alongside them. So for example, we sell eggs, cage-free eggs, and from a local producer that's in Pennsylvania. The market for cage-free eggs is generally, they want brown eggs. White eggs are literally the same thing as the brown eggs, just a different color. And so when the chickens produce white eggs, there is a huge surplus in the market, and a lot of them won't go to waste, which we think is pretty ridiculous. So we sell eggs and other items like pasta sauce and pesto and soups and other marketplace items as well.
How do you find these partners? How did you convince them? The farmer, I understand, because he had a surplus, you fulfilled a need. But the grocery store managers, here's this college student from Maryland who says, hey, give me your stuff, I'll take it. And sometimes even if they're giving it for free, it's a hassle. You know, somebody has to be assigned to you to set aside that for you, communicate with you. And it could have been cheaper for the grocery store to say, I'm just going to throw this in my trash can. How did you convince them?
Grocery stores or farmers?
Or any partner for that matter. You know, like you said, some